2015, Jaron, would say, absolutely, I'm a Christian comedian, right? And now I sit here and I go, well, now we have to define what the word Christian even means.
You're listening to Meme Lord Monday, a Christian podcast that interviews Christian creators and helps you find the meme in everyday life. Today's Meme Lord is Christian comedian Jaron Myers.
I am Jaron Myers. I am a stand-up comedian. I travel all over the country doing shows, so hopefully I'll see you one. But I also have a lot of followers online. I make videos and do dumb things. I did a Chick-fil-A rap video that went viral in 2017.
My name is Jaron. How can I help you today? Welcome to heaven. Ooh, yeah, I mean Chick-fil-A. Roll up to your table, smiling like a fool. Sorry if I'm awkward. I was homeschooled. Hey, hey. You don't have to bow your head.
So stuff you may have hopefully seen online, I just try to be funny and hopefully you laugh. My goal is that this year is the most joyful year of your life.
Jaron has a comedy special on Amazon Prime, and he has videos on YouTube and Instagram that have just gained millions of views. I almost guarantee you've seen something that he's done either online or through media somehow. He's been doing this for years, but he mentioned during the interview that Christian media has really changed over the years. It's not like it used to be, mostly because Christians have changed. Have you noticed that? Christians and the media that we consume and the way that we define ourselves is way different than it used to be in like the early 2000s, even in the last 10 years. So how does this affect you if you're a Christian creator? How does this affect you as a Christian? Let's talk about it. It's Meme Lord time.
Meme Lord Monday.
This episode of the Meme Lord Monday podcast is brought to you by Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes is a screen monitoring accountability software that will help you overcome adult content viewing online on any screen that you own. So many people have approached us about this sponsorship and they say that it's amazing. It's truly helped them where willpower will fail, where sometimes you just need that extra barrier and boundary to help you overcome pornography addiction. Our promo code, the letter M, the number 4, the letter J, M4J, will give you 30 days free of Covenant Eyes. And a lot of people have already told us that it's helping them tremendously. This is something that you truly struggle with and you want accountability. Try it free for 30 days. Use our promo code M4J and you'll get 30 days for free. The link for that is in the description of this episode. You can't miss it. All right, back to the show. What type of human does it take to be a comedian and not, like a Christian comedian, no less? You know what I'm saying? And I mean, well, let me just back up. Would you consider yourself a Christian comedian or a comedian Christian? Good sir.
I consider myself a Switchfoot comic. I think that's the new category, I would say. I think for a while I had wanted to do the Christian comedy route. Because Tim Hawkins is a hero of mine, a good guy that, and I kind of got in with some of the people who toured with him early. Cause I just, when I started, that's what I knew. I went to a Christian college and I did churches. Not that Tim's material is like this, but, and not that your guys' is either. This is going to sound bad, but like, there's a lot of low hanging fruit as far as like church comedy goes. There's a lot to make fun of. There's a lot of stuff that we all agree on, or we all go like, you know, like you can make buddy barrel jokes till the end of time. You know, there's so much stuff to make fun of with VeggieTales, you know, or like homeschool kids. And there's also people don't get tired of those jokes for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like I've noticed that anyway. So when I was starting, it was a really easy route to do that. And I am passionate about people knowing Jesus. Now where I am, it's a long answer.
I want people to go to hell.
Well, no. I'm saying it's a long answer to a short question. But 2015, Jaron would say, absolutely, I'm a Christian comedian, right? And now I sit here and I go, well, now we have to define what the word Christian even means.
Right.
I've thought about this a lot. Like, Toby Mac is a Christian artist in the 90s and 2000s. But now, in the context of 2022, I don't think that Christian artists exist in the same way. Because in the 90s and 2000s, I'm sorry if I'm getting too far into this, but in the 90s and 2000s, you've got the word Christian, and that means these things, right? But in 2022, you've got the word Christian, and does that mean far-right political Christian? Does that mean progressive, all-inclusive Christian? Does that mean a Christian who doesn't believe that women are people Christian?
Let's go.
Does that mean, you know, there's so many, there's so much more weight to it that you can't just be like, I'm a Christian comedian. And so we're getting, when we book things, we're getting a lot more questions about what denomination are you? What do you believe about this specific thing? What do you believe about this specific doctrine? Because I think a lot of churches, again, the 90s and 2000s, there was this middle road of like Christians are, we love Jesus and we love our neighbors. And now those lines aren't enough, you know, like people want to know beyond that. So in the 2022 context, where I am, is that I am a comedian and I want to use that tool. I want to use the gifting and the funness of a comedy show. I would love people to know Jesus more than they know cultural Christianity, more than they know whatever Christianity they were brought up with. My goal is just to provide opportunity for people to come closer together and to know Jesus. That's the priority. And so in doing that, I want my shows to be a spot that everyone's welcome. If you take a non-Christian to a Tim Hawkins show, they're not going to understand some of the jokes, right? And that's not a knock on him. Again, he won't listen to this. No one will. But I'm saying that, like, you know, there's a spot for that. I think that that's an important role that someone needs to fill. But I hope that my shows are a spot that we can start a conversation. I can connect you with a community that already exists, and you can grow in your knowledge and relationship with Jesus, the living person, rather than whatever ideas have been created about him.
That's a long answer. Yeah. So to my understanding, what Jaron is now saying is that it doesn't matter if you identify as a Christian nowadays. It matters what type of Christian you are. There's this type of Christian and there's that type of Christian. And it's unfortunate that we have this division, but this is how Jaron has been dealing with it.
And it's not an assumption of like, I'm a Christian and you aren't.
Right.
And honestly, a lot of it is political, you know, and on both sides, but obviously predominantly on one of like, this is the Christian position. And then we sit here and we go, okay, what? So in order for me to follow Jesus, I have to vote this way or I have to think this way. I have to talk about social issues this way. And that's where I just go, this is too much. Like, also, we can't have those conversations in mass on the internet. They're not designed for that. They're nuanced conversations that we have to learn how to talk about locally with people who know us and have more context and relationship, because we can't just keep putting stuff out on the internet and being like, Christians believe this. And I go, I do not, you know?
So I personally identify myself as a conservative, traditional Christian. I hold traditional values and I vote conservatively. That's how I am. But some of our viewers, listeners, or followers online would say, no, Matt, you're liberal, you're a filthy progressive because you talk to this person or you believe this thing. I don't believe that's true. But this is the unfortunate mentality that we're dealing with as creators. And we'll definitely get into that later in this episode. But for now, this is what Jaron had to say when I asked him, what's it like if you try to relate to a Christian audience nowadays? You
know what I mean? I try to, you know, I've gotten a lot better at reading an audience and being in front of people. But there have definitely been times where I share a joke and I go, oh, this was just my experience. Okay, this was not a broad Christian experience. This was, you know, my weird church experience that you know, whenever you're talking to somebody and you share an experience, you're like, you know what it was like when we were growing up and our parents did this weird thing, you know? And they're like, no, your parents did that weird thing. Nobody else's parents did that.
You didn't have to kneel in the rice. You didn't have to.
You didn't have to do this.
You didn't have to eat the bar of soap.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's been a few times where I've like made, and most of them have been like, you know, I did a joke about Ken Ham once, that I thought was going to hit hard. And then people just, there was the church I was at didn't know who that was. And I was like, oh, I guess that's not Universal. All right.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway.
That's another thing I was going to ask when people were like, hey, so what do you do for a living? You're like, I'm a comedian. Like, what's that like? I've always been curious.
Hey, you like clothes, right? I'm pretty sure you're wearing clothes right now. And if you're not, that's okay. If you want to wear clothes, but not just regular clothes, Christian clothes, and also support this podcast, head on over to memesforjesus.com and get yourself some premium, super soft, super cool, and also super funny meme drip. Drip just means clothes or like your style, your fashion, you know, in case you're over the age of 20. A portion of every purchase goes towards helping foster kids in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Head on over to memesforjesus.com and use promo code MONDAY to get 15% off your order. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, most of the time that it's asked that is in the context when I'm doing something else. And so like, for example, I used to Uber drive a lot. And that was when they'd be like, what do you do outside of this? And I was like, well, I'm a comedian. And a lot of people want to hear a joke or whatever, but also it's weird because I'm their Uber driver. So they assume that when I say that I'm not making enough from comedy. So I have to be their Uber driver. So that's what, you know, but, other times, you know, my high school neighbor, we ran into him at, the restaurant in my hometown, very small town. And he said, this was a couple months ago, and he just goes, do you still do those skits? So, you know, and I had to be like, yeah, you know, so, the time I applied for my passport, and I was like, you know, on the occupation line, first of all, I don't know why the lady had to help me fill out the paper. I guess there was something about, I don't know if it was because I wasn't allowed to touch the pen because of COVID stuff or whatever, but she had to fill the paper out. So she was asking me all the questions and writing it. So we get to occupation and I said comedian, and she was mad. And she was like, you need to tell me your actual job. And I was like, I said, comedian. And she goes, okay, what was your main source of income last month? And then I was like, you're gonna hate this, but TikTok. Write that on the line. Write yes. that on the occupation. TikToker, like, what do you want from me? Just fill out the thing, you know. So anyway, it gets weird. So most of the time, it's that it's not a normal job, so people think it's the times where it gets weird is when people look me up on Instagram. Only because I got verified, right? I'm not even talking about the number of followers. I'm talking about the little blue check mark yep. that means absolutely nothing to anybody in the world, but to like high schoolers. They think that is like, so I go to Starbucks all the time. So I'm friends with all the employees at my local Starbucks, right? And I hang out there, we talk, it's whatever. And then one of them looks me up on Instagram and I'm verified. And now every time I walk into Starbucks, all of them go, whoa, a celebrity just walked in. And you're like, all right, whatever. So, but anyway, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's not a normal job. So,
yeah. You say that the blue check doesn't mean anything, but I'm pretty sure Mike and I would sell our souls at this point to get that blue check.
Probably. But I think that it's actually gotten better in the last 2 years because a lot of people do their jobs online. But a lot of times I gotta be like, yeah, I'm a stand-up comedy and I'm a stand-up comedy, whatever that means. But usually the follow-up question is that your full-time thing, you know? Which is now how I've started to ask people about their jobs, you know. like what's your job? Oh, I'm a doctor. Cool. Is that your full-time thing? Like, no, I freelance. I'm a freelance surgeon.
One of my favorite like things that you currently do on TikTok is when people accuse you of stealing your own jokes. Because I know you've ever since I've known you, you've had to defend yourself as not stealing your jokes.
I know.
But now you have an outlet for that, for other people to realize it. And I think it's hilarious.
I think that's what, so tell me what you all think about this being internet people. That's how I classify all of us for internet people.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that I have gone viral every year since 2017 with something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And still, I'll sit at a conference with youth pastors, and we're just hanging out, and they'll find out that I do stand up, and they're like, "Oh, I got to look you up. Can I follow you on TikTok?" They'll look up my TikTok after we've been sitting there for having lunch for 20 minutes. They'll look me up on TikTok, and they're already following me, and they've liked all my videos, which means that they have seen. They have. So what I'm saying is that. So the reason I had to defend myself is that I post a tweet, it goes viral. Then years later, a couple years later, I repost my jokes all the time. You think I care? No, of course not. All right. It's going to get the same number of engagement the second year as it did the first year. Why? Because there's so much stuff on the internet that no one remembers the joke. All right. Mm-hmm. So then there's a few people who do remember it. They just don't remember that it was me that posted it. So then they go, "Well, you stole this." I go, "From myself? A year ago? Calm down," right? So what I'm saying is that's now what you have to do is it's a game of repetition and staying in front of people. And so you can take two routes of that. I have obviously chosen to take the recycle route, reduce, reuse, recycle. All right. And so I'm just like, all right, I'll post the same joke. Time Hop is my greatest content creator. All yes. right. And so I'm of a position like either I'll take the same joke or I'll reword it. I'll make it better. You know, I'll just keep working on it and twist it and make it better the next year or whatever. Or the other option that a lot of content creators go for is they're like, "I have to make new content every single day for the rest of my life." And I go, "You're going to kill yourself in 2 years, just burnt out. Like you're just going to be so over the internet. Mm-hmm. You're going to be so like you are going to destroy your soul by trying to output the number of stuff it takes to stay in front of people." Mm-hmm. You know, like you are just going to kill your desire to do anything. And that sucks. So I'm saying the path forward for creator is that the internet does not allow for rest. The internet does not allow for a break. The internet, if you take a break from the internet, you come back a month later, you've missed so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The internet doesn't allow for you to miss things. And so what you have to do is you have to condition yourself to be okay with missing things and just be like, "I'm not going to catch everything. I'm not going to be included in every inside joke that the internet has. There's a lot of TikToks I see and trending sounds that I just go, I don't get this one. And that's fine." Like you got to prioritize your own sanity because the internet is actively trying to steal it from you. So anyway, that's a weird tangent, but whatever.
No, I like that.
This is what I mean whenever I say the Christian artist space is different.
Yeah.
In that I am in the Christian comedy group.
There's no competition or anything because there's room for all of us. That's not the issue. The issue is that most of them aren't one funny, which is like, and I say that as a person who started not very funny. We all grow in our craft.
Yeah.
Right. But there's the other side where a lot of them have devolved into, can I say Fox News comedians on your podcast?
Oh, man. Sense? Yes, please.
So many Christian content creators. That's what I mean when I say, like, there's a lot of stuff that they just became, instead of being Christian and doing the church stuff, it really did meld into conservative comedians, you know? And so now there's a lot of Christian comedians out there and they make jokes about, I mean, Shonda Pierce had a whole 20 minutes about how much she loved the Donald. And that's like your thing, whatever. But that's where most of them ended up was. And the other thing is like most of the mainline churches are still trying to be neutral, which is an interesting decision, but you know, we can theorize on how that's going to work out or whatever. But that's where most of them ended up at. And so they're not booking the people who are posting. Like, even if your show is clean, and this is what I learned too, because I've tweeted some stuff that I go, I probably shouldn't have put that out there. Or like, I've posted stuff that I go, there's no need for me to comment on this issue right now. Like, I've learned, you know? But it's crazy to me the number of pastors who have not learned that. I can look at your Twitter. There's churches who that I go look up the pastor's Twitter and I go, oh, you only engage with misinformation or politically driven posts.
So what you're telling me, Jaron, is you're not a Christian.
Wow.
You sound like a Democrat to me.
I sound like one of those ex-evangelicals. No. You know, I talk slow and I'm trying to be more calculated with the things that I say, you know, but it is real. It's like when you look at I remember in high school, when I was in high school, Matt Walsh, the blogger guy, he was a pretty predominant Christian voice. And now he is something else.
Yeah.
And it's a pipeline that a lot of people have gone. And that's also to say, like, a lot of the people that I followed in high school, again, went a different direction and became like the super progressive deconstruction crowd, where they're like, everything that I believed before is gone as well. And so it's hard as far as like a content creator's perspective to hit both of those audiences. And it's getting harder to create content that is
palatable, would you say? Like, I know what you mean because
relatable to both sides, not both sides, but like relatable to the entirety of, and that's where I say there's just stuff you got to give up on. I'm gonna create my audience, I'm going to put jokes out there, and if they like my stuff, then they'll like my stuff. And that's what I mean when there's room for all of us. There's room for comedians who do this kind of material, and there's room for comedians who do this kind of material. And that doesn't mean we're in competition with each other. This means we have different audiences. And so I'm trying to be more careful about the kind of audience that I am curating. Like, that's not the commentary I'm making right now, is not this side is wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that if the first thing you do in the morning, and this isn't directed toward that person,
right?
I'm saying this is a lot of vocal Christians on social media. The things that they're engaging with on social media are primarily political content. Now, we can't pretend that it's not. It is mostly one side of the political spectrum that the majority of Christians are engaging with. That doesn't mean it's not happening on the other side. That's happening on the other side as well, right? But I'm saying that to pretend that that's not happening is just ignorant, right? But I'm saying that people are being more discipled by their political party and their beliefs and the political leaders than they are the word of God, right? Mm. And so what's happening is that a lot of people are waking up. The first thing that they're thinking about is the news or what's trending on Twitter or what this political blogger is saying or what this, the people who have flags outside their house, again, primarily one side, but there's other side as well. They walk out and that's the first thing, that's your worldview that you're going to engage the rest of the world with. Mm. Is you walk outside and you go, this is what I've centered my life on. And I'm saying that as far as my life, I'm going to center my life on the teachings and the person of Jesus. And I would like to encourage other people to do that. It's very difficult whenever people have said, oh, I am following Jesus. And what they really mean is that they're following whatever political leaning that they're in. And I'm not saying it's just one side, right?
Yeah.
There's so many progressive people who are saying, like, you know, if you follow Jesus, you got to vote for these kind of policies to do this stuff. And it's like the first thing you're doing in the morning is checking the news and figuring out what to be mad at that day.
Yeah.
Stop that. Stop that. Don't start your day with this. And I'm saying that as a person who, in 2020, we all watched the news at the beginning of the pandemic because we were all like, what's happening today? Mm-hmm. And I think we all developed a routine of checking the news, whichever news outlet it was, or whichever source we're getting it from, right? And we developed this routine where we were being discipled by that. Now, what that does, oops, I don't want to keep tangent, sorry. I was getting ready to go off.
I love it, man. It stinks that we can't have you on a little longer because I would love to keep talking about this. But yeah, I feel lately most of our discussions have been about why people are deconstructing from the church. And one of the sources of that deconstruction and the leaving of the evangelical, you know, political system, I guess you could say, is because of that. There's like an enmeshing of politics and church, where it's almost like we're losing sight of both things and we don't know how to distinguish ourselves as Christians. I imagine that it's a source of frustration for you as a comedian because you're like, I don't even know if I can be funny anymore about the things because it's going to offend somebody.
I'll say this, you know, I did a show last weekend at the comedy club up here, and the punchline of my joke, I do a joke about kids' names, and like my friends are naming their kids things that we used to name our pets, you know, so they'll be like, oh, I took, you know, I went to the park the other day with Spartacus and Apollo. And I'm like, are those your dogs? Like, what are you talking about? He goes, no, those are my sons. Our dog's name is Brandon. Here's the thing is that I now have to change that joke because as soon as I said, oh, my dog's name is Brandon, a table started going, let's go, Brandon.
Oh, no.
And that's where I'm getting frustrated is that I sit here and I go, the same table that won't watch the NFL because they can't make sports unpolitical is now unable to enjoy a comedy show without their applesauce brains just being like, and it's like, hey, why don't you shut up? You know, I'm saying that if that's what you've centered your worldview on,
right,
that everything that's presented to you, you have to run through a political spectrum and you have to go, where should I, as this kind of political person, land on this issue? Then I think that's fine. But don't tell me that that's the Christian way. You can have opinions, just don't try to tell me they're the Christian one if they're not based in scripture and the study of God's word. The other thing is that people are prioritizing certainty, which is why a lot of voices get elevated, is people who speak with like a, this is the way it is, and we can create this black and white, like, this issue is either a Republican issue or a Democrat issue. This issue is either a Christian issue or a heathen issue, you know? People who are Christians don't listen to this music or they do listen to this music. Like, we can simplify things that way. And we like when people talk with certainty. But more and more, when I see somebody using that kind of rhetoric or that kind of tone or that kind of attitude, what it tells me is that I think certainty is the language of the proud. And if you've got results, like, for example, like with my business stuff, I'm proud of those results. I have proven that we can provide these kind of results. So I will speak with certainty about what I can provide to you. That's fine. But when someone comes out the gate, I'm certain about this, that means that you're unteachable. And when you're unteachable, that tells me that you are not submitting yourself to the feet of Jesus each morning. Every time I log on to any kind of social media, that's one of the primary reasons I try to avoid it as much as I can, is that it just kind of seems like a bunch of people who are trying to teach and trying to speak and trying to have a platform and use that. And like, and I've been that person. I get it. But when I was that person was the most times that I was unteachable and I wasn't submitting my life to Jesus.
For real. As Christians, we've kind of lost our curiosity and our innocence in that regard. I totally agree. I think that there's people speaking out of certainty that and for issues that we cannot have certainty on without sounding like arrogant buttheads. And yeah, that's another reason why people, I think, might be leaving the church, because it's like, wait a minute, they told me this is exactly how it's supposed to be. And then when it's not exactly how it's supposed to be, or there's other conflicting issues,
not only did they say this is exactly how it is, they also didn't leave room for a conversation beyond what that could look like. And that's what I mean. Like, so many of the conversations that we're having, and like the reason I'm trying to speak carefully about these issues and be like, you know, it's not this one thing, is because these conversations aren't possible in a mass platform.
Yeah.
These conversations aren't possible. Like, there's no way that I in Kansas City, Missouri can have the full context and be able to speak 100% into your guys' life in Pennsylvania, because life is different there.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, man. Like, guys like us who create content, like, below the surface, you know, we're pretty mad about stuff. We're pretty upset. And that's why we try and be funny about it, is because, like, we're so ticked off at how things are. And so we have to make fun of it and ease the tension a bit, or we'll lose our minds.
I don't even know if I'm ticked off as much as I am. Like, there's a lot of times where I feel like I go, I don't know how to fix everything, but I'm being told by the internet that I should fix everything. And that creates an angst, you know?
Yeah. I commit to absurdity. That's why I have a burner account called My Jesus Jelly, where it's a talking can of jelly that basically makes these like basic white girl posts. And I'm like, it's my favorite thing in the world to make posts for that, because they're just absurd. And because if you commit to the things that we're talking too much, yeah, you'll go crazy. But hey, man, I don't want to keep you here too long. I've really enjoyed this conversation, dude.
Sorry that I go on to like tangents and then I go ooh.
That's what we do. That's literally what we do here.
Michael hasn't said anything this whole.
That's a regular episode.
Yeah, it's normal.
This is how it is. He kind of just sits there, and I tell him, "Hey, ask a question." All right, y'all. That's Meme Lord Monday. But all right, I'm gonna cut the live stream, and y'all have a great rest of the day. Thank you. Bye. There he is, Jaren Myers. Awesome guy. Had a really great conversation with him. He's touring right now. Look him up, jarenmyers.com. And if he's in your area, go to one of his shows. He's hilarious. Really great guy. We talked about so much stuff in this episode that I had to condense in order to for time's sake. If you want to hear the unedited version of this interview, you can support us, actually, on Supercast. And the link for that is in the show notes of this episode. It's in the description. You can support us monthly for a super cheap amount, and we will send you goodies. We've already sent out the first round of goodies to our current Supercast members. Just want to say thank you so much for those of you who've stepped up and have started supporting us. Super appreciate you, Supercast people. And like I said, you can do that. We'll send you goodies, and you will have access to all sorts of exclusive content and goodies that I will send you. And yeah. So if you just want to keep listening for free, that's cool too. You know, still love you. But yeah, it would be so much cooler if you supported us. So Supercast, that link is in the show notes. Support us. All right. Love you guys. Have a great week. Bye.